You're listening to the N2K Space Network.
And now, a word from our sponsor, SixthSense. SixthSense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With SixthSense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose SixthSense, visit SixthSense.com.
We're starting with a little birthday celebration today. 75 years ago, nations from across Europe and North America formed the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, otherwise known as NATO. The alliance's creation was part of an effort to serve three purposes: deterring Soviet expansionism, forbidding the revival of nationalist militarism in Europe through a strong North American presence on the continent, and encouraging European political integration. Some things never change, but space is increasingly important to the now 32-nation alliance. NATO recognizes space as a new operational domain, alongside air, land, maritime, and cyberspace. The more you know. So happy birthday, NATO.
T-minus 20 seconds to LOS egress. Go for deploy.
Today is April the 4th, 2024. I'm Alice Carruth, and this is T-minus. NASA selects three companies to develop lunar terrain vehicles. AWS layoffs hit the aerospace and satellite team. Mitsubishi Corporation joins Starlab Space. And Maria's speaking to Andre Kearns, Marketing Director at Amazon Web Services Aerospace and Satellite Division. We're working with AWS to bring the AWS In Orbit podcast to the 39th Space Symposium next week. So stay tuned for a preview of what to expect. We start our Intel briefing with some good news for three commercial organizations awarded large contracts to advance capabilities for a lunar terrain vehicle, or LTV, that Artemis astronauts will use to travel around the lunar surface. NASA has contracted Intuitive Machines, Venturi Astrolab, and Lunar Dawn, Indefinite Delivery, Indefinite Quantity, or IDIQ, firm fixed-price task orders with a combined maximum potential value of $4.6 billion for all awards. The Lunar Dawn team is led by Lunar Outpost as the prime contractor, along with its principal partner, Lockheed Martin, and teammates General Motors, the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, and MDA Space. Phew! According to NASA, the awards leverage the space agency's expertise in delivering and operating rovers to build commercial capabilities that support scientific discovery and long-term human exploration on the moon. NASA says it intends to begin using the LTV for crewed operations during Artemis V. Intuitive Machines, Lunar Dawn, and Venturi Astrolab will begin with a feasibility task order, which will be a year-long special study to develop a system that meets NASA's requirements through the preliminary design project phase. The agency will issue a subsequent request for a task order proposal to an eligible provider or providers for a demonstration mission to continue developing the LTV, deliver it to the surface of the moon, and validate its performance and safety ahead of Artemis V. NASA states that they anticipate making an award to only one provider for the demonstration. NASA will issue an additional task order to provide unpressurized rover capabilities for the agency's moonwalking and scientific exploration needs through 2039. Moving on, and Amazon Web Services has let go of several hundred sales, marketing, and tech roles, including at its aerospace and satellite division. This is the latest in a series of job cuts by the parent company Amazon.com. The exact number laid off is not confirmed, but a few hundred each at AWS's sales, marketing, and global services division and the physical store's technology team have been impacted. Amazon spokesperson Duncan Neesham said in a statement that, quote, "These decisions are difficult but necessary as we continue to invest, hire, and optimize resources to deliver innovation to our customers." Mitsubishi Corporation has been announced as a partner and equity owner in Starlab Space, the joint venture between Voyager Space and Airbus to build a new commercial LEO destination. Starlab Space says this new partnership increases their reach beyond the transatlantic partnership and transforms the joint venture into a global organization. Mitsubishi Corporation is expected to leverage its capabilities to increase the value of Starlab, using space research to enhance and accelerate terrestrial product development in multiple industries and expand access to space-based technologies globally. Additionally, this partnership is expected to expand access for the Japanese space economy and industrial base into the LEO marketplace by harnessing Starlab's cutting-edge technologies and capabilities. California-based satellite manufacturer Muon Space has introduced a new product and announced that it's already secured over $60 million to design, build, and operate 10 satellites launching throughout 2025 and 2026. The Muon Halo satellites range in size from 150 kilograms to 500 kilos with remote sensing payloads. Johnny Dyer, CEO of Muon Space, says that the new product range will allow the company to, quote, "support the highest performance, custom mission requirements with a standardized, highly qualified hardware and software platform." Climate tech company Hydrosat has been awarded a grant from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, also known as NOAA. The grant is part of the agency's Small Business Innovation Research, or SBIR, program. NOAA's SBIR program funds the development of innovative solutions that demonstrate commercial potential and will enable Hydrosat to explore a range of use cases spanning five focus areas: agriculture, aquaculture, drought, wildfire, and urban heat. Hydrosat's grant with NOAA includes a combination of high-resolution imagery and geotechnical analysis to deliver insights related to those four areas, as well as commercial applications to support different industries and levels of government. While North America goes crazy with eclipse fever, the Europeans are saying, "Hold my beer." The European Space Agency has unveiled a pair of spacecraft making up its new Proba 3 mission, planned to produce orbital solar eclipse events on demand. Well, not like the natural event that's going to pass through on April 8th. This will be a simulated eclipse to study the sun's corona. Proba 3's Oculta spacecraft will fly around 150 kilometers away from the second coronagraph spacecraft. The pair will line up with the sun so precisely that the Oculta casts a shadow onto the face of the coronagraph, blanking out the sun to reveal the corona. The spacecraft are currently undergoing pre-flight testing in Belgium. UK-based software developer Bright Ascension Limited has closed a £2.25 million investment round through a convertible loan from Scottish Enterprises, Capital for Colleagues, and other investors. The company says that this represents a significant step forward in Bright Ascension's journey towards bringing its Helix products to the market. The funds include £1.5 million previously secured in October 2023 as a bridging loan from C4C, alongside others and existing shareholders. The bridging loan transitions into a convertible loan as part of the current funding round. Bright Ascension says it is committed to reshaping the new space software landscape through its technology and development of its next-generation Helix suite of satellite software products. That concludes our briefing for today. You'll find links to further reading on all the stories that I've mentioned in our show notes. I've also included two AFWERX SBIR contract announcements for Scout Space and Solstar Space. Congratulations to both companies. Hey T-Minus crew, N2K Space is working with Amazon Web Services Aerospace and Satellite to bring the AWS in Orbit podcast series to the 39th Space Symposium from April the 8th to the 11th. We'll be broadcasting from the AWS booth, number 1036 in the North Hall, from Tuesday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Come by the booth to catch us in action and share your story, or email space@n2k.com to set up a meeting with our team.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI.
Today, Marie is speaking to Andre Kearns, Marketing Director at Amazon Web Services Aerospace and Satellite Division. Andre started by telling Maria about the AWS Aerospace and Satellite Division.
At AWS Aerospace and Satellite, we're really helping our customers to reimagine their space missions on the cloud. So what does that mean? It means we're helping our customers to really start to think differently about how they build and operate their space systems. Historically, space systems have been very siloed, right? So the cloud provides this platform to manage space missions virtually and in a more interoperable way, as an example. We're providing our customers the opportunity to automate their data workflows. All of this massive space data that space customers and satellite operators are capturing in space, downlinking into the cloud to use it. We're helping to automate those data workflows so that they can more quickly turn the data that they're capturing into useful information. We're helping them to accelerate innovation because we have this leading edge platform and we're delivering new services and features all the time that our customers are able to leverage. And ultimately, we want them to be able to utilize the cloud to really realize mission success. And we believe that we offer the most advanced secure cloud infrastructure, the broadest set of services and features, as I mentioned. And then we just bring to the table extensive space industry expertise. So we built the aerospace and satellite business unit, and we envision it as a team of talented individuals that have expertise both in the space industry and also in the cloud. And so we sit at that intersection and we work to meet the needs of our customers.
As an outsider who has been learning about aerospace in general in the past few years, it's been fascinating. My background in tech, seeing how cloud has come in to the aerospace world and really just transformed how business works and what people are able to do with what I think a lot of us think of as what used to be very analog, and really digitizing that future and transforming what people are able to do and the insights people are able to drive. It's been amazing to see. And I can absolutely see how AWS would be playing a huge part in that.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're excited to work with our customers to drive this transformation. And, we talk about the space industry, but really, like, what I get excited about is when you start to think about all the different mission types across the space industry that we get to work with every day. So there's aerospace and aviation. There's launch, propulsion, and infrastructure. There are all of these satellite communication providers. There are satellite operators that are capturing imagery and data of the Earth. And then there are organizations and providers that analyze all that data that we call it geospatial data often that satellite providers are capturing to derive insights rapidly about the Earth to help us protect the Earth. There's a number of providers now that are delivering space situational awareness solutions, right? Because it's getting crowded up there in low Earth orbit. And then, of course, there's human space flight and exploration. So there are all these just amazing, exciting, mind-blowing mission types that we get to work with every single day. As a marketer, as a marketing leader, I kind of see myself as the chief storyteller, right? So we get to tell stories about how we're helping our customers to reimagine their space missions on the cloud. You know, the stories that we're able to tell, the references we're able to provide really help the industry and other potential customers understand how they too can advance their missions leveraging the cloud.
So we have this great event coming up, the Space Symposium. It's going to be my first time going, so I'm actually really excited about this. And I know AWS is going to have a really interesting presence there and is going to be telling a lot of those stories. Can you tell me a little bit about what those stories are, maybe if there's any kind of overarching theme that might unite them that people can look forward to learning more about?
Yeah, sure. We're super excited about this year's Space Symposium. We're going to be offering attendees more opportunities than we ever had before about how to use space and cloud technologies to accelerate innovation, to build faster, to explore more and farther. So just a couple of examples of how we're going to do that. So we will have a booth. And so when you come to visit our booth, you'll find really immersive demonstrations that let you have experiences like, for example, the experience around using generative AI to easily and quickly find the information you need across massive mission documents, right? You'll learn how to develop satellites faster using digital twin simulations. And then you'll be able to use virtual reality to see space data in a whole new way and do more with it. So those are just examples of the immersive, interactive demonstrations that we're going to be bringing with us to Space Symposium. We're on a podcast, so we're excited to share that we will be broadcasting our AWS in Orbit podcast every day at Space Symposium, right within our booth at Space Symposium. So we're inviting industry leaders and customers to come and talk about how they're exploring capabilities uniquely offered by both space tech and cloud. Examples would be accessing satellite data faster so you can do more with it, and then keeping maritime operations safer. And then we're delivering thought leadership through a handful of talks and demos, both at our booth and as part of the overall Space Symposium program, which are going to showcase solutions, AWS solutions like AWS Ground Station and our machine learning capability for high throughput satellite data processing and our cloud-based satellite command and control capabilities that we offer customers and many other really innovative capabilities that are enabling the industry today.
I'm picking up when you're talking about the thought leadership and also just sort of like the general thread of what's being woven through a lot of what the booth is going to have on offer. There are a number of threads there, but I'm picking up on things like speed to enablement, also the importance of like the amount of things that people can do that maybe they weren't aware that cloud can enable. This feels like a very obvious question, but I am actually genuinely curious. Why these themes? These are fascinating angles to go with. Like, what was that conversation to arrive at those themes?
I'll get us to Space Symposium, right? But I would say that the space industry is really growing at its fastest pace since the Apollo program. The industry is launching more satellites into orbit and at a faster pace than ever before. And that's driven mainly by commercial organizations that are building smaller satellites, so you can launch more satellites within a given payload, and then also driving reusable launch vehicles, which is accelerating the number of launches that you can do within a given year for both public and private missions. And so all of these satellites that are now going up into low Earth orbit are going to be capturing and transmitting massive amounts of data. And so the amount of data to and from space is going to, this just blows my mind. Experts anticipate it's going to reach more than 500 exabytes of information by 2030, right?
I didn't even know that was a unit of measure, exabyte.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah, it's hard to really comprehend exabytes, and we're talking about 500 of them, right? So that's a pretty sizable increase in space data volume within the next decade. And again, it's driven largely by these satellite-based connectivity and Earth observation companies and operators.
Right, because you've got images, especially. I mean, those take up a lot of space.
A lot of space, very heavy data. And so all that data is being captured, but it's completely useless unless you can access it quickly, associate all the metadata, be able to bring analytics to that data and apply it and derive insights and really find exactly what you need to make decisions. And so this is what, to me, digital transformation and resilience is all about. And so I think that's our sustained focus for our business, delivering digital transformation for the global space business, and then also building resilience for the business and for the industry. And so that's also our particular focus at Space Symposium.
We'll be right back.
And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the darknet, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.
Welcome back. Calling all GOT fans, winter is coming. I've always wanted to say that. Okay, GOT is Game of Thrones for those not into the fantasy stories that involve medieval England meets dire wolves, dragons and white walkers. There's a comet in the sky called Mother of Dragons, and this might be your last chance to catch it. The Mother of Dragons Green Comet, officially known as Comet 12P/Pons-Brooks, completes a single orbit around the sun once every 71 years. The last time it passed by Earth was in 1954. It'll be visible after dusk across the Northern Hemisphere and will be at its brightest when it approaches the Sun on April the 21st. Recent observations of the comet have revealed a hidden spiral of light surrounding its frigid heart. Oh, I see where the GOT reference comes from now. This celestial object is a little more than unusual. It's a cryovolcanic or cold volcano comet, meaning that it regularly erupts, spewing the contents of its icy core into space, making the comet look brighter than normal. So dust off the telescopes and look up. And if you happen to capture a picture of the Mother of Dragons, feel free to share it with us. That's it for T-Miners for April the 4th, 2024. For additional resources from today's report, check out our show notes at space.n2k.com. We're privileged that N2K and podcasts like T-Miners are part of the daily routine of many of the most influential leaders and operators in the public and private sector. from the Fortune 500 to many of the world's preeminent intelligence and law enforcement agencies. This episode was mixed by Elliot Peltzman and Trey Hester, with original music and sound design by Elliot Peltzman. Our associate producer is Liz Stokes. Our executive producer is Jen Iben. Our VP is Brandon Calf. Our dear host Maria is recovering from strep, so please wish her well. I'm Alice Carruth. Thanks for listening.
And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and Zero Trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.